Welcome back to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa, and today we're talking about a tough but honest question straight out of Ecclesiastes. Is life vanity or is it blessing?
Yeah, so I think we probably need to define that word vanity because...
I thought you were going to say Ecclesiastes.
No. Well, it is a book of the Bible, right? With a lot of syllables in it.
Yeah.
But in Ecclesiastes 1:2, it says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And when we think of vanity, what do you think of?
I mean, like emptiness.
I don't. I think about mirror, mirror on the wall.
No, I don't. I think about emptiness, like the other word in the philosophy world is banal, just empty or crass.
Well, yeah, it's because you have all that philosophy stuff in your head. But most normal people who are not in that category think of it like looking into a mirror or a vanity. We could use it like that, like ladies have vanities.
Or like that song, I'm so vain, right?
There you go. Right. Yeah, you think about it like that. But the Hebrew word hevel means smoke. It means mist. It means vapor. Something you think you can hold on to, but as soon as you grasp it, it slips through your hands. And that's the tension that Solomon was speaking about in Ecclesiastes. And what he was writing about in his wisdom was he looked at the world under the sun and he said, all is vanity of vanities.
Yeah, you know what comes to mind is those, you know, those like water snakes that you hold and they just like slip through your hand, but you think you have it for a while. You know those? That's what comes to mind. But yeah, I mean, we feel like that, right? Life can seem like a just sort of like endless cycle. We've got school years and budgets and holidays and seasons, and we race from Thanksgiving to Christmas and spring break to summer, and the calendar just keeps going on and on and on, and it feels like movement. It feels like we have something to hold on to, but at the same time, it feels like a treadmill that we can't quite get there. We're running and running, and we can't quite
reach the sun
it.
Comes up. We think about the next milestone, whatever that's going to be, and we do this over and over again until we die.
Fun.
Yeah. And Ecclesiastes 1 paints this picture. The sun rises and the sun goes down. The wind blows to the south and then goes around to the north. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. It's exhausting. The merry-go-round of life just keeps spinning, spinning, spinning. And eventually we return to the dust where we came from.
Well, yeah, and Solomon calls that hevel, hevel?
Hevel.
That's what you just said. It's not that things don't exist, but that they lack any kind of permanence. They look solid, but vanish when you try to grab hold of them.
This is a really, maybe, nerdy thing to say, but I was reading this, and it just stuck into my head. I think there at every second, there's like 1.4 million gallons of water pouring in from the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico, or the Gulf of America, I don't know what we call that now. But every second, and it never fills up. And then it evaporates, and it returns. And it evaporates, and it returns. There's no new water. Like, it's just the same stuff, just moving. But 1.3 million gallons, that's one big swimming pool.
Yeah, and a recycling swimming pool.
Yeah. I think we know this at some level, though, this Hevel principle, this mist, this vapor. Golden Globes, Jim Carrey. Hilarious dude, right? Kind of rubbery face dude comes out, and they announce him. And they introduce him, and he says, you know, this is two-time Golden Globe Award winner, Jim Carrey.
Nice. I like that radio voice.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
And so he comes out, and he everyone's thinking it's going to be, like, this really incredible speech. And he's there, and he begins to talk about this futility of life. And he says, when I go to sleep, I don't just dream ordinary dreams. I dream of being three-time Golden Globe Award winner, Jim Carrey. Because, and then he says this, because then I would finally be enough.
Yeah, did everybody laugh?
And everyone laughed. But I don't think he was, I think he was being serious. You can look it up on YouTube. 2016 Golden Globes, Jim Carrey. Fascinating.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was in many ways naming the futility that Solomon is talking about here in Ecclesiastes, right? The sort of chasing meaning and all kinds of achievements.
And I think this is kind of where it gets uncomfortable. And I think this is what Solomon is talking about here. When we start to go, oh, wait a second. Yeah, we are on this treadmill. We are pursuing all of these things. And you can't really catch them. And even if you think you caught them, you haven't really caught them. Like, you can run after money, but what's actually enough? You can run after a relationship, but what happens when that person doesn't satisfy you? Like, all of those things that we kind of run after. And this is where it kind of gets uncomfortable because it comes home, right? It's kind of like, do you have a cat? You have a cat, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I got a cat.
You ever do the laser pointer thing?
Oh, yeah, she loves it.
Yeah, I would like to just come over and do that because I think it's hilarious. They're always, like, they're so aloof, right? They're all like, I am superior to you.
And I always think that they, like, think in French.
Right? Yeah, yeah. But then you bring that thing out, and they're just dumb. They're just chasing it. And they chase it, and they try to catch it. And, like, you can bring it out every night, and they'd be like, I'm going to get it tonight. I'm going to get it tonight. And then you realize, like, that's us. Like, we're like the cat. That's what he's saying, right? Sure. Everything under the sun, when you're chasing that for satisfaction, for pleasure, you're like the cat chasing the laser pointer. And it moves into this idea of humanism, and it sneaks into the idea that human effort, human wisdom, human success is all we need and is going to solve the needs that we have.
Well, yeah, like, we're living like our meaning comes from the things under the sun. And I agree with you. I think we see it in our culture. I mean, I see it in myself in certain ways. We might say that we trust in God, but then we live as if our careers or what we have or our relationships will fill us up. And if we're honest, like Solomon, we end up disappointed.
Yeah. Solomon had all of those things. Power, money, like lots of money, richest man ever to live. Like, filled his head with, like, just not like one more book like a professor does. Then the students, like, read everything, knew everything. Like, so, so wise. Like, women, relationships, like, what did he have at the end of his life? Like, 1,000 in his harem?
That just sounds like a headache to me.
Like, to every dude who ever heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, he had it all. And still, he said, it was, you know, meaningless.
Yeah. And you can just think about it, like, personally. Like, I remember the first time I got a good job. I was in college still, and I bought a nice not new car. It was a new used car, new to me car. And I mean, it smelled nice. It looked nice. And then all of these things started happening. Like, I needed to put new tires on it. I needed to do this, and I needed to do that. And the maintenance on it, and all of those things. And the thing that felt like I had arrived all of a sudden became baggage, right? It, like, weighed me down. It felt like a chain. And that's what happens when we place our ultimate hope in created things.
Yeah, I remember one of the most deflating days of my life was the day that I defended my dissertation and passed my PhD. I remember walking away from that thinking, like, what now? And it was really, really depressing, actually. I called my mentor. And he was like, yeah, that's what happens to all of us. We feel like, what now, right? We've got the letters, but who cares? And Solomon's point, I think, is kind of sobering. Not only do these things sort of lack substance, they also don't last. Right? There's nothing to hold on to. And what you think you've held on to is fleeting. In Ecclesiastes 1:11, he says, there's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, yet to be among those who come after. So even what we work for now and we think is a legacy that we're building will fade.
Yeah, I was, one of my boys was, they eat a lot of frozen pizzas. And it's not like we don't feed them meals. Like, they always get a meal. It's just,
I think every time I'm over there, somebody's making a pizza.
Well, it's like they're 9 o'clock. They're teenage boys. Right. It's like 9 o'clock. It seems like it's pizza time. Right. And Levi, who is our oldest, is sitting there eating a pizza. And I don't know why this dawned on me, but as I looked at him chowing on the pizza, I thought of my grandfather. And his name was Levi. I'm like a fourth generation Levi. And I was thinking about my grandpa and, like, man, he would enjoy him. his name, like all of those things, like man, namesake type thing. And I mean, I've probably told a couple of stories of my grandfather to my kids, but I was sitting there and it dawned on me in that moment, like, I'm the last one that will remember my grandfather. Like, they'll know a couple stories, but they never knew him. Hmm. He passed away way before they were ever born. But all my grandpa Levi, his name, his work, his days under the sun, forgotten. And there was just like a weight that came on me in that moment. Vanity, 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 all of it.
That's a happy message. But yeah. We're not going to stop there, right? No. Ecclesiastes isn't just like a, isn't, it's not just a prescribing of the problem, a description of the problem. It's actually, it is the diagnosis. It is not the cure. Right? It shows us what's broken, but then it pushes us to look beyond the sun.
Yeah, right at the very end, we get like a commentary, and it's a little chunk. It's a conclusion, and it says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, every good or evil.
Yeah, life under the sun is meaningless, but life with the Creator under the sun has meaning, right? It's life beyond the sun.
Yeah. Jesus picked up that kind of that same theme in Matthew 16, I think it is. And he says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? That's the choice of vanity or really blessing.
Well, yeah, and it's not just about like avoiding the wrong remedies, right? Maybe I took the wrong essential oil or whatever, right? Some people actually fall into fatalism, right? Nothing matters, or nihilism, which life is meaningless, or stoicism, which don't let life touch you, right? But scripture calls us to something better, worship, right? To anchor ourselves in what's real and not what's vapor.
Yeah. So what does that look like? It looks like redefining gain. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God. Gain isn't treasures on earth. It's treasures in heaven, not comfort and control, but carrying your cross, not self, but serving. It's this going, man, these things here on earth aren't wrong. But the most important thing is this relationship with the Creator, and not allowing the creation to become idols in my heart and in my life.
Oh, yeah, and I think it also means recognizing new mercies. Lamentations 3:23 is one of my favorite. I mean, I think it's a familiar passage to many, but it says that God's mercies are new every morning. Right? Every morning you wake up and there are new mercies waiting for you. And that is a really beautiful thing. Life doesn't have to be a meaningless cycle. I mean, the routine can be pretty mundane. But it doesn't have to be meaningless. Every sunrise is a fresh start.
Yeah, it's like God goes, mulligan, because I might have messed up that day. That's a blessing. Yeah. You know, that's substance you can actually hold. You know, it's not smoke. It's not hevel, but something that's solid, eternal. It's not the cat chasing the dot.
Yeah, and it also, if you're working on a legacy, this is the kind of legacy that doesn't fade, right? The eternal legacy is what we're talking about here. Earthly names are forgotten, but in Revelation, we're reminded, right, that there's actually a book in heaven with our names written that will never be erased. And that actually is where true remembrance is, right? What God knows about you, what God sees, where the kingdom has infiltrated your life under the sun. That's what matters.
Yeah, and I think generationally, like, if you want to leave a legacy, it's not a legacy of, like, cash or possessions or, you know, whatever. The legacy is, man, I lived under the sun, but I remembered my Creator. Because that is passed down, hopefully that's to my kids. It'll be passed down, and it'll be passed down to their kids. Because it was passed down to me from my parents. And so, like, there is a movement of generations. If you can actually do that and actually help them to see the reality that life under the sun is meaningless without the sun of God, right? It's disconnected, disjointed.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things I've seen recently. You know, as our family has made more intentional decisions towards Jesus and the kingdom of heaven, I've seen a different kind of excitement and light in my kids that I can say, oh, yeah, I see that God's doing a thing here that looks like nothing really here on earth.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the big question that Solomon is pushing. It's a question of, will we choose vanity or will we choose blessing? And, you know, he shouts it, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But then Jesus steps in onto a hillside and he's teaching. And in his Sermon on the Mount, he uses a different word than vanity. And he says, blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Matthew 5 talks about this.
Yeah, that's the turn, right? From vanity to blessing. From life under the sun to life with the sun.
Yeah. Friends, that's the choice before us. We can choose to chase our laser pointer around.
I'm going to get one for you.
We can choose to try to grab smoke or catch our own shadows, or we can cling to the solid reality of eternity that is found in the reality of who Jesus is, which is the question we all have to ask. Which path will you choose? Which path will you choose? Well, that is good news you can use on Pearls and Swine.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear them. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. And if you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.